In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Words are powerful. Words are potent. Words can cut. Words can heal. Words can build up. Words can tear down. Words can take us to a place far from where we are, and words can transport our present trajectory in a completely different direction. Words can be carefully chosen, carefully spoken, carefully crafted, all of these yet fully misunderstood. The rendition of the beautiful Christmas story found in the first chapter of John's Gospel centers on the Word. Deeper yet, written in Greek, focuses on the Logos. But no matter the complexity of our vocabulary, human words cannot compare, capture, or contain the depth of what truly happened the night when the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. As we explore the Word of Christmas, I will do my best to communicate these words, the Word. But just know that if you only take the words that I speak and do not dive and delve into the Word yourself, you will be let down. John Peter Lang and Philip Schaft write, "The doctrine of the Logos has ever been regarded in the Christian church as one of the most mysterious and important parts of doctrine." You see, this is where we see the picture of the incarnation painted into the words of the Bible. We see here that there's a mystery that the human mind cannot comprehend, that there's a divine being who has willingly come down to the world, giving himself to the world and living in the world that is his own. A world that he had part in creating and forming. He came down not in hatred, not in judgment, not in a spirit of overthrowing the areas that the people he was promised were focused on. Instead, when the Word became flesh, he came down in both grace and truth. This also brings into the picture what is to come. See, Christ would soon put in place the plan that would bring not only his identity from spirit to flesh, but would bring the potential of placing the throne of God only in the tabernacle or temple, but now because the Word became flesh, the throne of the Word could be placed no longer apart from humanity, no longer out of reach from what mortal man could do, but because of the person of Christ, the throne of God could now be in the heart of man, where God himself manifested himself and his Son into a relationship with you and I. See, John 1:1 brings us back. It brings us back to the beginning. In Genesis 1, it reflects, in the beginning, God. And we see here in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. In Genesis 1, later on, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." We see that there was a community with God. The Holy Spirit, that it says, was hovering over the waters, but also this unnamed other that God says to, "Let us make mankind in our image." We'll see that other revealed later in Jesus. You see, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see in Genesis 1 that there was with God in the beginning Jesus. Not only was it introduced in Genesis 1, but Jesus was prophesied throughout Scripture. In Genesis 3, he was the seed that would crush the head of the serpent. He would be Abraham's blessing to the nation. He would be Moses' greater than successor. He would be Judges' true liberator, Ruth's true kinsman redeemer. He was Israel's true king, Isaiah's suffering servant, Daniel's son of man. Jesus would be the joy for Jeremiah after the exile, the true prophet, the true Messiah. The wisdom of God, the one who would finally bring to fruition the vision that could transform hearts of stone into a heart of flesh. As you read through the Old Testament, you can see the work of God through history. But you can't help but see that from the beginning there was the Word. The Word spoken in times long before Jesus stepped on this earth gave a glimpse to who Jesus would be. Not only would he be a baby born in a manger, but he would be a leader who would love. He would be a Savior that served. And one day he would lay down his life to trample death. But we see not only was Jesus in the beginning, he was with God. The Word with God. Going back to the verse that we see in Genesis 1, we see that there is that other that God speaks to. At times, theologians have tried to capture the complex nature of God by saying that he's this kind of transformer. By saying that when God needs to be an alien war machine, he takes one form. When he needs to be a yellow and black Camaro named Bumblebee, he forms up and appears in that way. But really, instead of just transforming, instead of just morphing, God is. God is. When he says to Moses through the burning bush, he says, I am who I am. He is God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we see Jesus, we see Jesus with God. We see only one God, but we recognize a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 says, yet for us there's but one God, the Father, through whom all things come and for whom we live. But there is also but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. In the Great Commission, Jesus gives to his disciples, he tells them to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see the three unique identities of God in the story of Jesus' baptism. Jesus comes out of the water, and in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we read what is seen. As soon as Jesus was baptized, it says, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We see Jesus coming out of the water. We see the Spirit coming like a dove, and we see the Father speaking from heaven. The mystery is that these three identities are one God. Over and over, we're reminded. Through a prayer spoken every single day by God's people, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And in this, we see Jesus. We see the one with God and the one who doesn't leave there, but it says not only was the Word with God, but the Word was God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He has provided purification for our sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." See, it was seen throughout Jesus' story and throughout Jesus' life that He would do things that only God could do. He identified Himself not only with the Creator God, not only with the all-powerful God, but as God. He came down and he gave, He taught, He led, He healed. The teachers of the law standing around when Jesus heals a paralytic. He heals this paralytic because He says, "So that you will know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins," because He did that to show them. Because He recognized that they began to whisper to each other. That before this, they thought only God could do that. Only God. They recognized in Jesus. Not only did Jesus' divinity stand out to those around Him when He was in religious arenas, but Jesus also conquered the waves when He walked on water. He conquered the elements when He calmed the storms. He provided for His people just as God had before. You see, in the picture of Jesus feeding the 5,000, we see a reflection back to what God had done earlier. When God's people in the Exodus story were going out of Egypt, and they found themselves in the wilderness, far away from being able to provide for themselves, and God sends down this food. God gives them this thing that they call manna because they don't know what it is. He gives them this, and He gives them sustenance. He gives them food to eat. And in the feeding of the 5,000, we see that Jesus, as He goes out to teach the people, they go out far away from where they could provide for themselves. But Jesus, as God Himself had done, and as only God could do, begins to feed the people. With all there being a sack lunch from a young boy going fishing that day, Jesus feeds 5,000. Jesus identifies and proves Himself over and over. That He has power over sickness. He has power over life itself. He has power over the demons. He has power over creation. Greatest of all, He has power over the cross, as well as the sin and the shame that it represented. Last thing that we need to clarify. And this phrase keeps on coming up, that Jesus is God, that the Word is God. In this world, there's a lot that believe that Jesus can be a God, but is He the only? There's a lot of people that can look at this and say, well, maybe there's multiple. Maybe there's everyone can be their own God. That's not what Scripture is telling us here. There is but one God. Jesus is not just a lowercase g God. Jesus truly is God. He is the Creator. He is the author of life. He is God above all else, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of whom it is written, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." This is Jesus. Don't mistake God this Christmas for a Santa-like figure that rides on clouds rather than a sleigh. God is so much more. God is so much greater than we could imagine. God is so much more than my words can describe. So as we enter into this Christmas season, as we enter into this time of busyness, of shopping, of even giving, of even being with family, some of the great things. Let's take time to appreciate the word of Christmas. As Jesus comes down, as Jesus gives of himself, the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. He did all this because he loves you. Because he wanted to reach out. As we lean in to the Word of Christmas, we recognize that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of Christmas. Will you pray with me? God, we lift up your name. The name that is greater, the name that is higher, the name that is above all others. We lift you up. God, in this season, in this time, in the situations that surround us, we know that you are God. Not only are you God, but you are the God over all, in all. And God, you chose to be with us. You chose to come down to this world, God, and we thank you for that. You chose to make a way for a relationship to be in our hearts. God, you are good. We lift you up and we praise you. It's the word of Christmas. And it's in your Son's name. The Son that came down, the Son that gave himself, the Son that became flesh. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we close out this time with a song.